Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. We've been going through spending some time recently looking at some of our favorite Bible verses and what they mean, and we've got about three more weeks after this week left before Advent starts. And I'm going to stray off the path a little bit today. I'm not picking somebody's favorite verse today because I did something I don't usually do this past week. I looked at the news. I wanted to share this article I came across. This is from this past Monday, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Fort Lauderdale police have charged three men, including two pastors and a 90-year-old man, for feeding the homeless in public on Sunday. The first such case made by the city after a new ordinance effectively banning public food sharing, which took place last Friday. The first to be charged was homeless advocate Arnold Abbott, 90, who has been feeding the homeless in Fort Lauderdale for more than 20 years. Also cited were two Christian ministers, Dwayne Black, pastor of the Sanctuary Church in Fort Lauderdale, and Mark Sims of St. Mary Magdalene's Episcopal Church in Coral Springs. All three men face up to 60 days in jail and a $500 fine. One of the police officers said, "Drop that plate right now as if I was carrying a weapon," said Abbott, who runs a nonprofit group called Love Thy Neighbor, Inc. "It's man's inhumanity to man is all it is." In 1999, the city tried to stop Abbott from feeding the homeless on Fort Lauderdale Beach, prompting a lawsuit from Abbott, which he won. Now he says he will fight the municipal ordinance charge and be forced to take the city back to court. "I'm going to have to go to court again and sue the city of Fort Lauderdale. A beautiful city," said Abbott. "These are the poorest of the poor. They have nothing. They don't have a roof over their heads. Now you turn them away." Abbott said that he won't turn them away and is planning to bring food to the beach this Wednesday evening with the expectation that he may be hit with another charge. "I don't do things to purposefully aggravate the situation," said Abbott. "I'm trying to work with the city. Every human has a right to help his fellow man." I thought this was a joke when I read it, because lately I've been seeing some stories that didn't make any sense, stuff like this. And it turns out that every once in a while something isn't true, but this is. Three more people, a man, a woman, and a teenage boy, were arrested yesterday in Fort Lauderdale for the same thing. The boy said that he thought the police were kidding. He wasn't sure that this was really happening. But they're arresting people for feeding the homeless in public. You know, looking at this, I just knew that there has to be something else to it. There has to be something else to this. What the law is saying, though, is that they're doing this to protect the homeless. I don't know if there's been a rash of, like, people poisoning homeless people in Fort Lauderdale recently, but they're trying to set it up. They're trying to encourage, the city is trying to encourage people to go to shelters, to go to feeding programs and get fed there rather than having food brought out to them in the street. But to be honest with you, I've done a little bit of work with the homeless and hungry missions and stuff like that, and a lot of those people aren't going to go to those places. It doesn't matter how cold it gets. You know, this last winter when we were having nights where it was minus 40 degrees, there were still people on the street and there were still empty beds in the homeless shelters because people don't, for whatever reason, don't want to go to these places. And there are people who don't want to go to the soup kitchens, but they'll take a handout. Matthew chapter 25, excuse me, starting at verse 31 says this. These are the words of Christ. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven, in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You see, it's the kind of thing that we're called to do as Christians. It's the kind of thing we're expected to do. And for some of us, it's not a big deal. You know, we've been involved in some ministries down on the north side with feeding and clothing. The free market is a perfect example of ministry for clothing. Because that's the biggest thing we get, isn't it, is clothing. There's more clothing going to people who need clothing than anything else we're handing out there. Our church had at one time a feeding program on Saturday afternoons, just a soup kitchen where people could come in and you didn't have to prove anything or say anything, and here's lunch. And here we have stories about some people in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who are just trying to feed the hungry, and they're going to jail for it. I posted this story up on my Facebook account almost as soon as I read it, because I found it so hard to believe. And I did a little bit of checking to see, because every once in a while you'll see something like this, and, oh, that's not true. I made sure it was true, and I posted it, and I heard back almost immediately from some people. A friend of mine in Alabama says in Birmingham they do this there too. They're trying to not encourage the homeless to be there. And maybe if we criminalize feeding them, the homeless will leave. I don't know if that's going to work or not. We can't just sweep people under the rug. There will always be homelessness. There will always be poverty. There will always be mouths to feed. In our Bibles, we have four Gospels. Each one of the Gospels tells the story of the life of Christ. And each one of them has different stories. There are some things that are in the Gospel of Matthew that are not in the Gospel of John. And there are some things in the Gospel of Luke that are not in the Gospel of Mark. And it just kind of goes back and forth that way. There's one miracle, though, that's in all four Gospels. The feeding of the multitude. I'm going to read the account now from the Gospel of Matthew. He had just been teaching, and there was a large crowd there. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, Where shall we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them, gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. 4,000 men and women and children. They didn't count the women and children. 4,000 men. Hungry. And they fend them. Could have just sent them away. Fend for yourselves. God's people fed them. We as believers are called to many things. To take care of people is one of them. To do what is God's bidding is one of them. I like in one of the stories of the feeding, they express the fact that the couple of loaves and the couple of fish was a little boy's lunch. They were looking for food, and all they could find was this one little boy had his lunch, and he offered his lunch. So sweet that a child could do that. For the longest time, I kind of wondered if the disciples, stole this kid's lunch. But he calls us. I mean, certainly, the God who created the universe could take care of this problem. He asks us to take care of it, to take care of the people who need to be taken care of. I'm not just talking about the hungry. I'm talking about people who need to be taken care of. Have you ever been sick and in the hospital, waiting for somebody to come visit, and there's nobody coming to visit? That's no fun. I'll also put out a message at this point that if you really want me to come and visit you in the hospital, you have to let me know. Because there have been times when, somebody's missing for a while. I don't know where you guys are. And then I've had people come to me, weeks later. I was in the hospital. You didn't come visit me. Sorry, I didn't know you were in the hospital. I'd have been there. There used to be a day when the hospital, part of the checking in process in the hospital was you tell them what church you went to and the hospital would contact your church. Well, they don't do that anymore because it's a big secret that you're in the hospital. They want to keep it a secret. When you have a bulletin, I know I didn't have them this week, but my phone number is on the bulletin. You can call me or have somebody call me and let me know. I'm glad to come visit you. Sometimes you don't want people to see you there. I understand that. I know sometimes people don't want like a lot of company coming to visit them when you're in the hospital. Because let's face facts, when you're in the hospital, you're not at your best, right? Reminded of a story about a pastor who was in the hospital. And people wanted to come visit him in the hospital because he'd been spending all this time as a minister going to visit his congregation when they're in the hospital. They wanted to come to see him, and he wouldn't let them. He didn't want them to because he didn't want to be seen that way. And a pastor friend of his came to him and said, look, you got to let your people come to visit you because, you know, it's a blessing to someone to be visited in the hospital. And whether you want that blessing or not, it's also a blessing for the people to come and see you. And you're taking that blessing away from them by not letting them come. So finally, somebody did come and visit him, and they said to him, was there, you know, sat and chatted with him for a little while and then said, you know, I don't have a lot of time. I got to go now. But is there anything I can get you before I leave? And he started thinking, you know, no, there's nothing. There's nothing I need. So are you sure? Because if there's something you need, I can run out and get it and be back with it. And he thought for a minute and he said, how about a little puzzle book, word searches or crosswords or something like that? And this person was just delighted to have the opportunity to go and do that. What a blessing to have that opportunity, to have that chance to bless someone. That's a blessing for us. I go and I do the prison ministry, not, you know, I'll be honest with you. They ask us every time we get together and start preparing for this, you know, you have to get up and introduce yourself and, you know, say what your name is and where you're from. And one of the things they ask you is why are you doing this? And why did you come? If you're coming back, why are you coming back? And quite honestly, a lot of people, when they say, you know, well, Bill Corbel's the reason they came in the first place, and they came back because they feel a blessing themselves. It's not just the fact that we're going into the prison and blessing these, you know, being a blessing for these men. We get a blessing from it as well. When we bless, we get blessed back. These men who have been arrested will have their reward in heaven. They may have to suffer. I mean, you know, when I go into the prison in the morning, I'm leaving at night. I know that. These guys are going in for 60 days. Not a prison, but like a jail for 60 days. They're not coming out for 60 days, but God is with them. God is taking care of them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, the last of the Beatitudes, it said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think a lot of this is persecution. I think a lot of it is. I mean, we live in America, the country where you're supposed to be able to worship as you please. You're supposed to be able to have all these freedoms. And here some people don't have the freedom to share their lunch. I mean, that's allegedly what the ordinance is. It's against sharing food in public. I understand that there are circumstances where that's not a good idea, but I can't help but think maybe somebody is a little too worried. They're trying to protect us from I don't know if they're trying to protect us from ourselves or quite what it is, but it just doesn't seem wrong. I mean, it doesn't seem right to make this a criminal offense. I know with our daughter, she's not allowed to share lunch at school. They're not allowed to swap food at school. I remember growing up, we always did that. If there was something in your lunch you didn't like, you'd trade it to somebody else. Because there was always somebody that wasn't smart enough to like chocolate pudding. You'd find them and give them an apple. I mean, I understand it with today, you know, there's so many kids have like so many specific food needs and so many allergies and things that, you know, that I kind of understand that. I understand the fact that we need to protect the kids, but a grown-up should know, hey, I shouldn't eat this. Or they should be able to at least be able to ask the question, is, if I'm lactose intolerant, for example, I should be able to say, is there cheese on this sandwich? Is there something in this soup? How much salt is there in this soup? You know, I can't have salt or whatever. I don't know. You're going to run into the same issue if you go into a food kitchen or a soup kitchen or whatever, a feeding program. You're going to run into the same issues. The least of these that Jesus was talking about, the hungry, the thirsty, strangers, the poor, the sick, the prisoner. You know, maybe in this particular community, you don't need to, you probably don't deal with a lot of homeless people in this community. You probably don't deal yourselves with a lot of people who are going hungry in this community. But there is loneliness. There is sickness. There are people to visit who are looking for visitors. There are people who have non-material needs that we are able to meet, that we are able to find. And I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus continued in the parable. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's the other side of the coin. You see, we are called. We are called in some way to serve those who are the least of these, whoever they may be. As I say, maybe not the hungry or the homeless so much from this community, but every day, who do you see? Who is lonely? Who is in need of a kind word? Who is in need of some attention? Who needs you? There's someone there. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is a good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word, I think it really comes down to, is love. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. That's what we're really talking about here, is having the freedom and having the ability to love one another. And then going ahead and doing it. I've been praying for the people in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that they will be able to demonstrate love the way they feel the need to demonstrate their love for their fellow man. I ask you to do the same. And I ask you to demonstrate love the way you feel led to do so as well. It must be shared. By whatever means it is, you feel called to share it. Perhaps a visit. Perhaps a cup of coffee. I don't know. It's in your hearts. Please seek it out. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.